And she expected herself to perform this, being able to be a mother, and she wasn't able to accomplish that, and it caused her to crack. It says that she was really upset, she wasn't eating, and she probably just losing a lot of sleep and just really anxious over it. So, moms, you have superhuman expectations on you guys. Like we said, if you were to put a number on it, it's, you know, $61,000 a year, but I don't think you can put a number on raising a human being, or several for that matter. Especially on a day like today where we celebrate motherhood, it's awesome that we do this, that we set aside a part of our year to celebrate. You know, moms, you're awesome. We appreciate you. But there's a lot of expectations on this day alone. And some things, you know, we're saying, I wish I was a mother in the first place, like Hannah. I wish I was a better mother. I wish I loved my mother. I wish my mother loved me. I wish I was as good as a mother as she is. I hope my mother likes my gift. I wish my mom was still alive. I wish I could have children. I wish I knew who my mother was. I wish my children would honor me how I would like to be. I wish I hadn't given my baby away. I wish my children loved me. I wish they would write. I wish they were still alive. There's a lot of expectations running around on a day like today. And I think the Lord has a solution. You guys ready? I think, you know, failure comes when we judge ourselves based on our capabilities and abilities. Because it leads to just comparing ourselves to others. We just always seem to come up short. You know, when I was training, you know, I wanted to be a singer. If I were to compare myself to John Lennon or, you know, Justin Bieber wasn't around at the time. But if I was to instantly compare myself, I would just be hopeless. I would just be done for because my worth is based on my ability and in that position. And we always come up short because we're fallible human beings and it's just not going to work. But when we place our identity in what God says we are, we can't lose. We cannot lose. And so on a day like today and with your goal, with your personal goal in your life, just let go of the expectations. Sure, it's great to have good values in your life and to place yourself in a standard. We're called to that as Christians, but don't place it too high, unachievable, and find your rest and your identity in God and not in your abilities and your goals. Right? Ephesians chapter 1 says this about you. This is who you are. Listen to this and pay attention to this. If there's nothing else that you listen to this entire time, listen to this. This is who you are when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because this is who He makes you. All right? Grab onto this. This is your identity. It's not your name. It's not your occupation. It's not being a mother. It's not being a son. It's who Christ made you to be. Check this out. You are blessed. You are chosen. You are holy. You're blameless. You are loved. You are predestined. You are adopted. You are purposed. You're redeemed. You are forgiven. And then you are sealed. It is all one sentence in the book of Ephesians, and it's just like, come on. Are you kidding me? In a good way. You know, I could not have fathomed living this life and placing my identity in something this powerful and this strong before I came to Christ. And it's only through Him that I have this worth, that I have this identity. All right. So when we have these goals and you want to be a good mom, place your identity in who you are, Jesus Christ. That's who He makes you. You can't lose. It's just incredible. I think the second largest difficulty of being a mother is finding quiet time. You got kids all the time. You know, I was talking to somebody and they're just saying, I just can't take a shower without my kids screaming and banging and asking if they can come in and wanting to play with their toys and stuff. Props to you, because my shower time is like my kingdom. It's like I'm in the shower and I'm like praying and I'm, you know, worshiping the Lord. And maybe, is that too much information? TMI Sunday, a little bit, yeah. Here's what somebody said. Sometimes I just want to sit by myself and do nothing or not have to worry about working my life around naps and feeding times. Somebody else said, even when you adore your children, you need to take time now and again to refill, relax, and recoup, or you're no good to yourself or your family. And then somebody else said, lack of sleep and lack of alone privacy time, including using the bathroom. These two things keep you either sane or insane. I mean, I don't have kids yet. I'm anticipating it, and it's going to be awesome. I'm ready to wait for a while. But this just, like, good job, Mom. I don't know if I could have done it, but I'm going to be faced with that. Anyways, moving on. This is how Anna reacts. This is her reaction to her quiet time. So we're in verse 9 and 10. Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Hannah intentionally picked herself up, set aside a time of quiet, and how did she spend it? She went into the presence of the Lord and prayed, and she was honest with God. She was angry. So she prayed with anguish to the Lord, and she was just like, bare bones, I'm going to set this side apart and spend it with the Lord. So I think our quiet time is best spent in the presence of God. Our quiet time is best spent in the presence of God. That doesn't mean that you can't take 5 minutes to brush your teeth and just, you know, relax to... Who spends 5 minutes brushing their teeth? That's weird. To just relax and let it all go and... But I think if you are intentional, like you want to spend some quiet time, like spend it with the Lord, you'll be refueled and recharged and re-amped and revamped and ready to go for your kids, right? Or for your goal in general. Should I turn this off? It is off. I personally have to spend quiet. I have to spend time alone. And part of it is just because I'm introverted by nature and we function by spending times to refuel and recharge. And I was talking with Julie Doss about this. She's teaching me all this stuff about, you know, my personality traits and stuff. We need time. So I cannot function outside of spending quiet time. But when I allow that time to be put into God's hands in the presence of God, I'm refueled. I'm like a different changed person. I'm ready to go and ready to conquer SUNY Oneonta campus for Jesus Christ. And it's just awesome. So, you know, like I said, I can't imagine the amount of time that's taken by having children, but I want to challenge you mothers to intentionally just block out, you know, time where they can go with dad or with grandma or with a friend that you can just get some quality time. You know, here is awesome. You're not quite alone, but, you know, there's people downstairs that we really appreciate that watch our kids. And this is a great opportunity for you to come to church and get with God. I want to, you know, side note, in most churches, 90% of the work is done by 10% of the people. And so I want to challenge us. And one of our main objectives as children when we're growing up on Mother's Day is let's make today all about not having mom to do anything. So she doesn't have to cook. She doesn't have to clean. She doesn't have to do anything. Of course, it always ends up disastrous, and she has to do all these things the next day. But let's take care of everything. And so I want to challenge us as the body of Christ to take up the post, and let's relieve some of these people who are just, they love doing it, but let's relieve some of these people who are just, you know, slaves to Christ and are working, you know, nonstop around the clock to do great things for us here in this church. Let's relieve some of those people in authority and step up and be the body of Christ and the family of Christ. So if you're here this morning and you don't have a ministry that you're plugged into, somewhere where you're serving in the community or here through the church, I want to challenge you to seek out that opportunity that you can serve and build in here. Because that's how families work, right? It's not, we just don't show up. You got chores when you're a kid and you got work when you're mom and dad. And let's you know, take up our share and do some stuff, right? So let's help claim the quiet time. All right, our third aspect of having a goal, being a mom, the most difficult part, you hit it right on the head, Judy, letting go. When does this mean? It means, you know, when is a good time for us to kind of step back as parents? Here's what some people said. There's a time when they're wanting to be an adult, yet they still want to be a kid. It's hard to know when to let go and when not to. Somebody said the most difficult part of being a mother is when regular mommy duty is over. Right? So this is probably for older mothers with older kids. A difficult part of that is just letting them go, letting them fly, letting your kids fail, you know, guiding them and directing them. Now, I experienced this a little bit with my college students that I father. It's hard sometimes to not have tabs on them all the time, knowing what they're doing, you know, who's going to this thing, who's going to that thing, what's going on with that. So I can relate to you here a little bit. But if you have this goal, you know, let's jump into this and see what Hannah has to say and what she's doing. So this is starting at verse 11. Stay with me. This is a little bit longer, but it's awesome. Hannah made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, and I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, woo, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow, but Hannah did not go up. For she said to her husband, Not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, it's such a funny word, weaned, she took him up with her with three bowls, one thing of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and did all this stuff, and she said, O Lord, As your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I ask, have lent him to the Lord. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Hannah let go of her kid. And I'm sure it was really hard for her. It was her firstborn child. It was the promise of God laid in her life. She had this goal and God gave it to fruition. But she promised beforehand that she would let it go. How was she able to do this? Hannah let go of her child before the child came. Does that make sense? Hannah placed that goal in the hands of God before it came to fruition. So if you have a goal in your life and you want to achieve something, you want to be a singer, a musician, you want to be a good accountant, you want to have the great GPA, you want to be the best at your job, you want to be the best mom, I urge you to place that in God's hands before it even comes to fruition. It'll make it a lot easier afterwards when you have to actually physically give it to God to remain your promise. Right? There's that old saying, let go and let God. And God charges us to trust Him with our work and with our goals. It's one of our relationships as sons and daughters that God charges us to trust our Father with our goals and our expectations. Psalm 37, I couldn't help but think of this. 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. There's a promise of God. God gives you the desires. If you are a child of God and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and commit to following Him, He wants to give you the desires of your heart. So there's things that burn with passion inside of me for seeing revival up on college campuses, for being a musician. Like, God placed these things in my life, and if I give them to Him, it says that He'll make them come to fruition. And I'm experiencing that, you know. And these things I've given to God before I see anything happen. Also, letting go multiplies. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. Letting go does some stuff. Banning Leafshire, he's a pastor out in California, he says, our legacy is the leaders that we raise up. It's the fruit of our life at the end of the day. So he's talking specifically here in people and leadership. When Jesus was here on earth, he raised up these 12 people and he built into them. And then the time came where he said, I have to let go and fulfill my mission. You guys got this. And what happened? Christianity just went whoom, just all over the world. It was miraculous. And so Jesus Christ let go of his mission and trusted it in the hands of his disciples. And it multiplied. And it was awesome. You know, Hannah, in this story, when she let go, she birthed Samuel. And he became one of the greatest rulers, prophets, judges in the history of Israel. And it was awesome, all because she placed that in the hands of the Lord. And what happened? She birthed 5 more children after that because God, you know, she was faithful to her promise with God. And it's just awesome. So letting go can be a hard thing of your children or of your dream. But it's a blessing to let go and to send that out to God. So I just want to close with this. If you have a goal and that you're thinking of, and I'm kind of talking, and you're, you know, you have this thing in your mind and everything, you know, keep that at the forefront of your mind. And I want to pray over those goals. I think there's world-changing power in this room with some of the goals and the desires that God has placed in your heart and in your mind. So what did we talk about? We find our identity in Christ with these goals, right? So I am not my goals. I am not my abilities. I am a child of God. I am blessed. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. I'm all this stuff that we talked about, right? Spend some quality time with the Lord about your goals. give it to Him, right? And let go. Commit your work to the Lord, and He'll see you through. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those that build it build in vain. I don't want to waste any of my time in my life vainly building something. You know, I don't want to waste my time. I want to step in the path of the Lord who's going to bless my work, and He'll just raise that up. So let's commit our goals together to the Lord, and He'll raise us up. Let's pray. Father, You are good and holy, and You've called us to be sons and daughters. And You've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ. Father, I take my goals. I take the thing that is burning inside of me, the thing that I want to accomplish, and I place it at the foot of the cross. I'm letting go of it. Father, my identity is in You. And I want to spend time with You. And I want to let go of that goal, because I know that You will bless it. Just in your own words, silently or out loud, you can just begin to reflect on this and ask God, communicate with Him about your goals. Thank You, Jesus. I just can't help but think that You're doing something miraculous here this morning, that You are healing people of guilt, of shame, that You are just inspiring people to achieve the impossible. God, we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we love You. We give You this time. We give You our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.